Yeah, that's a lot colder. That's a lot colder than here.
Yeah.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
Namaste.
There we go.
I already asked you a question about that, but I want to come back on that about the Bajan. Is there any way we can have the words in Sanskrit and in English, the transcription? Because it's too fast and I don't catch it. Is that clear what I say?
Yes, yes. Okay. At the bottom of the bhajan video, you mean, or
anywhere?
Are you just talking about it? There is booklets. You can go to ramakantmaharaj.us and download the bhajan booklets.
Booklet.
And they'll have like the words and everything. And also on the YouTube channel, there are some of the bhajans with the words actually on the video that is put on there.
Okay.
So
in Sanskrit?
No, it's in English.
Okay. Because I would like to have Sanskrit because to hear the pronunciation well and the transcription too.
Okay. Yeah, then that would be the book. And the also RamakantMaharaj.net. If that website is still around, I don't even know, but it has, RamakantMaharaj.us, that has a lot of Ramakant Maharaj videos and also should have bhajan and also should have bhajan booklet, but also there is a RamakantMaharaj.net, which they may also have booklets and stuff, so.
Okay, I will check on both.
There you go.
Because it's helped me, because I would like to see the right pronunciation, that's put the vibration on, and also with the meaning of that, just go with the flow.
That's good, yeah.
That's for me, the mind needs that right now.
I understand. Well, see, in my experience in the ashram, there were some people who really wanted to get the enunciation perfect, and they were really working on this and all this. And for me, it was more the vibration and letting go, and allowing the bhajan. And I even told Maharaj, I said, you know, there are some devotees who they're very specific and they're wanting to pronounce this correctly and all this. And for my own self, I just seemingly am being shaken apart. So I don't want to use mine to concentrate on the pronunciation of the words when I'm being kind of shaken apart by the bhajans. The bhajans are kind of permeating my being and just kind of shaking apart. So, and even I have a little video where I was doing a little dance and all this kind of stuff. So it was, but I'm not saying you don't want to do that.
No.
It's just that for my own self, it was just kind of a
immersion.
Yeah.
And I don't know in what. And you didn't even know the meaning of everything, nothing at all.
No, just, nothing
just
at all.
And the vibration.
It was just the immersion, the vibration. I remember one evening literally feeling like I was just expanding into the whole ashram, and then that the whole ashram and all the dancing was going on inside of myself.
Okay.
And I didn't pay a lot of attention to the words or the meaning. It was just the spiritual atmosphere. That I guess, you know, selfless self just really enjoyed. And there was just a joy that broke apart any kind of, you know, body tension, I guess.
Okay. Thank you for sharing that.
Absolutely.
zombies are now making black.
Hello, hello, Renee.
Hi.
Did I freeze or did you freeze or?
Renee freeze.
Oh, okay, okay. I just wanted, I didn't see anybody else moving. Trish was very still and I said, oh, did I freeze or did you all freeze? <There you go. laughs>
In the first week of November, more than 27% of positive COVID-19 cases were vaccinated in Colorado.
That is the why we're expanding hospital capacity by 500. That's why we're acting urgently around expanding monoclonal antibody treatment.
Figures show that 256 vaccinated Colorado account for 16%. Of the current COVID hospitalizations. Now the governor remains focused on how.
I just muted you for a second, Renee, because the TV is like coming into the meeting a little bit. I was just checking if we took a break in 2020 for holidays and stuff, but it looks like we didn't. We went every single week all the way up to the 22nd of December.
You choose.
Do what?
You make the choice if we stop or not.
No, I know. Well, I mean, it says as long as people are coming, it's fine. I was just looking because I said, okay, holidays are coming up. Maybe we should take a little break or whatever. But last year we didn't. And evidently the year before that, we didn't either. So I'm surprised.
2 days is just one of those free days, I guess.
You just all show up and here we are. It's good.
I was kind of wondering about spontaneity and spontaneous. In a sense, well, I don't know, if everything is ultimately spontaneous, and then so there's no sense even talking about it.
I mean, spontaneous action is just when you don't take the touch of doership, especially after the action. You say, oh, I did this, or oh, I did that. When you know yourself in a real sense, There's no sense of doership. There can't be. You're formless.
So what? So it's like the word spontaneous, in a way, doesn't even apply at that point.
Well, spontaneous, again, like Maharaj says, we use words to try and describe, you know, something. And just like a spontaneous action, you pick up the tea, you drink the tea, you put it down. And there's not like a whole thinking process of, I am drinking this tea. Like we talked about last week, you're not sitting there and trying to say, where is this tea going within this body? You know, I'm following where the tea is going, and it's travels. This is just a spontaneous action. And like Maharaj says too, you eat a breakfast, you eat lunch, you eat dinner. A couple of days from now, you don't remember all the breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You know, it's just, it's something, it's a spontaneous action, and it's finished. Okay, I was hungry, I ate some breakfast, and that was that. It's not a big drama, you know? The drama only comes when I identify myself as someone doing something or having some experience. And then I'm kind of getting lost in the thoughts and saying, oh, this thought is about me and I'm doing XYZ. When in reality, you're the totality. Or actually, the totality is appearing on your spontaneous presence, because you're just, you have no connection with the world, just as the dreamer has no connection with the dream. You know, that body laying down sleeping is not entering the dream. Even though there appear to be things going on within the dream. But that body laying down sleeping, and where this dream world is projected formlessly, that's not in the dream. And when you know yourself in a real sense, it's very easy to separate. Oh, again, if at all you want to compare yourself to sky or space. The activities that are going on within the space. And you are the space more than you are any of the objects within the space that seem to be having activity or active doing something. And of course, that doesn't mean you just sit there and be a stone guy and be like, oh, I'm very spiritual, I don't do anything. No, because naturally, you are here.
Actually, you're more free to do whatever, so without any interference of something other than what you're doing, I guess.
Yeah, you won't have that self-consciousness that you're identifying with this thought stream of, what are people thinking of me? How am I portraying myself? Am I doing this good thing, this bad thing, whatever? It's just spontaneous actions in the moment, because you're formless. You know this. But of course, now, from the egoistic sense of self, you're going to sit there and say, well, that means I can do whatever I want. Well, but you're not going to desire this when you know yourself in a real sense. You're only going to desire this when you still believe that you're a body that can do things, whether they be good things or bad things. In reality, there's just the formless presence that you are. That's it. There's nothing. And all of this is just within the long dream.
I guess that's why it's almost like you stop thinking to some degree, because the things that you used to think about don't even come up as issues anymore.
There's no center to create a thinker, because you're not in a limited form. In order to have a thinker, you have to have a limited form and be thinking about things related to that form. But if you're the totality, then what is there to think about? And yet, like we said, you schedule an event. Oh, at 7:15 on a Tuesday night, I come here and I enter into this little talk. And then when the thing goes off, then we record it and we send it up on YouTube. You could say, okay, this is a routine, but it's just something that's occurring. There's no you know yourself. You just know that all this is occurring within the dream. And it just, nothing's happening because you are formless. And all these form-based things that are appearing are not true. Which is why when we look at a dream, all the forms that are appearing in the dream, when we wake up from that dream, we know they're not true. Well, Master has said, you are not body, you were not body, you're not going to remain body. When you wake up from the delusion that you are a body, then all of this form world will be just as untrue as the dream that you woke up from this morning.
But I may recognize that I'm not the body, but I don't.
What could you be then? If you're not the body and you know this, then what are you?
So that's what you. I don't know what it is, what I am.
But you're not body, right?
Yeah.
So all of these body-based issues, these body-based relations, or these body-based questions don't pertain to you. You may not know who you are, but if you know you're not body, then you can disregard all these body-based questions and body-based experiences because you know you're not body. So now, if you're not body, who am I? That's when you sit quietly with your own self and you sort of marinate in your own selfless self. And that sense of presence, that very just I without anything. I know I'm not body now. This is not not anything to be discovered. Now I see if I'm not body, then who am I? And that's not with words, because words came along with the body. So you're prior to words.
That's what you were calling investigation the other day.
Exactly. Investigation is just concentration on the concentrator. Presence with presence, meditating on the meditator until all of it disappears and you're just there. And now, if you know you're not body, then whether the body is there or not, it doesn't affect you. So immediately, if you know you're not body, now this concept of birth and death is gone. Because if you're not a body, how were you born? If you're not a body, how will you die? All limitation is gone. When you know you're not a body, all limitations are gone. How can there be a limitation? You're not trapped in that illusory vessel through concepts. And no concept will apply to you. If you're not a body, what concept can apply? Because again, you identify as space in the room. What concept can the space in the room identify with? And who to know this? Who is there that desires to know that?
It's ironic that it's not satisfying to the mind or the body to...
But again, remember, if you're not body, then where's the mind?
Yeah, but it's more satisfying than you could possibly imagine, in a way.
When you know yourself in a real sense, that's it. And now you just sip on the nectar of immortality and remain with your selfless self. And now go about, do your job, do your duties, and play in this form-based illusion. And you don't have to keep reminding yourself it's illusion because you're formless. So there's nothing to do, nothing's happening, everything's good. Really, there's no good, no bad, you're formless. And then you use this body in the moment to do whatever needs doing, because this body is the instrument. You take care of your body. You feed the body, because it's a food body. If you don't provide food and water, then the body won't last. And all this is that we label ourselves as is a lump of all the food that you've eaten. From the baby mush to whatever you had for dinner last night. That's what you're calling yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And Renee, I only muted you because of the TV in the background, but if you have questions or you want to talk or anything, you feel free. I know this is your first time visiting us, so. But sitting and listening is cool too, whatever you prefer.
Thank you. Sign language. One thing that's kind of weird is as I continue on with this, when I do get free of my what I consider to be my normal self, which I keep end up returning to, however, that always, that state is kind of, there's a consistency that's the same as it was. And it's not a little bit different than it was years ago. It feels like me, you know, same old me. But the when I go into the experiences of nectar of immortality or whatever you want to call it, bliss, freedom, that seems to be deepening and changing, kind of changing in a way. It keeps deepening and getting more like stronger or something. Whereas the other, my usual self is always the same old self.
Well, understand that your true self never changes. So all these changes are appearing on your spontaneous presence.
Yeah, so yeah, it's...
And you're the observer of all the changes because you're the unchanging. If you were changing along with the changes, there'd be no changes. So you're seeing these changes as they're appearing on your presence. And from the body-mind perspective, from the perspective of mind, the feeling is a feeling of expansion. And that I experienced this in the ashram. And I explained to Maharaj, I said, wow, I just expanded into everything. But the truth is, that's from the position of a body mind that's feeling an expansion. The sense of expansion is coming through body mind. The truth is, the false is dissolving. And as you're sort of dissolving the false, because you had identified with that false that's now dissolving, there's nothing to identify with. And therefore, there's a feeling of expansion from the limitation that you at one time believed yourself to be. And it's just dissolving. That's why Maharaj says removing slowly, silently, and permanently all the layers of illusion. And underneath the fire is burning bright, the presence. That presence is burning bright. It's covered by the ash of illusion, and you are removing the ash. It's not that the fire got brighter. It's just now that the ash is removed, fire is there. But fire was always there.
Layers is a good word, sort of a good word for it. To me, because
everything is layers on your presence.
So many different layers, so many layers.
Everything, and that's why the mantra and remaining with your selfless self, you remove these layers slowly, silently, and permanently. Because the truth is, they're illusory layers. You identify with one certain layer and then have problems. And the problems are within that layer only because you identify with that specific layer of illusion, whether it be a thought, whether it be a feeling, whether it be an experience, all those are appearing on your presence. They're add-ons that you do not need. But when you start to identify with the feeling is a layer on your presence, but now you're identifying with the feeling as I'm feeling this way. So these layers of illusion just need to go. And like you said, you know you're not body. Maybe you've had this already. You say, okay, I am not body. And even if you haven't discovered this completely, you can say, like Maharaj says, Master says, I am Brahman, I am Brahman. Brahman is no body. So, no body. A thought comes. How can this thought be about me? I'm formless. I'm not a body. The thought is, oh, I'm feeling very sad. Well, who's feeling sad? Does the space in the room feel sad? So then right away, it's just, oh yeah, that's right. I'm the holder of a five elemental body, and there's disturbance in the five elements. Just like you look outside, sometimes it's very sunny, sometimes it's raining, sometimes it's windy, sometimes it's cold, sometimes it's very hot, because the five elements are just doing their thing. This is a five elemental body. So there's a disturbance in the five elements. But I don't sit there and say, I'm disturbed. No, there's a disturbance in the five elements. As long as you're holding body, these things will be there. They have nothing to do with your spirituality. That's a big trap to say, well, you know, I'm meditating and now I'm depressed, or I'm meditating, now I'm more sad, or I'm meditating, now I'm more angry, or these, because this is just body. A five elemental body going through the elemental disturbances, just as the elements themselves go through disturbance. And you could say you're holding those bodies too. Maharaj says, meditation is most important. You must know yourself in a real sense. Spend some time with you.
So all this stuff that I consider to be distractions from that peace or space, it's like, I mean, I could say that the mind wants to be distracted or something.
Mind is not separate. It's not like a living entity or something that does something. No, this is mind, like Maharaj says, it's flow of thoughts. It's just a factory of thoughts. It doesn't do anything. It's not like we sit there and we say, my mind, oh, I can't go against my mind. No, it's not like that, because you're supplying energy and power to the mind. But there's no mind at all. Thoughts are flowing. As Maharaj says, which thought to accept, which not to a thought to accept is up to you. If you know yourself in a real sense, you probably won't be picking a lot of thoughts about yourself. You have practical thoughts. Like tomorrow, I'm picking up a ham for Thanksgiving that I'm supposed to be cooking for these folks. And I said, oh, I need one of those little pans. So I went to Giant and I bought one of those little pans. That's using your mind, basically, because that's a process. But there was no me involved in that. And it wasn't like, oh no, I hope I get the right pan, or when should I go, or should I wait, you know, or will, no, it's just like, okay, I am picking up a ham at 3 o'clock tomorrow. That's a thought. But that's not any kind of thought, like self-consciousness. There's no, like, it's not a heavy thought. It's the same as pick up the water, drink it, and put it down. Oh, I'm going to pick up a ham at 3 o'clock tomorrow. I'll need a little pan because I'm baking this ham. I'm not really baking it. I'm just heating it up. It's already all pre-done. So, but I needed a pan. So I went to the store and I bought a pan and I came back and now the pan is here.
So you could say purposes are being taken care of, but they're not, purposes aren't like a thing that you have to keep like it does. Sustaining it, like, will this purpose get fulfilled and stuff like that?
Part of the total functioning. It's part of the total functioning. There's no individuality to go and get a pan from Giant and bring it back. You know, it's like there's not a lot of drama. There's not a lot of John needs to do this. No, it's part of the total functioning. Just like picking up the ham tomorrow, I'll go and I'll say, oh, this is my number. And they'll say, oh, here's your box with your ham. And I might have to wait. Okay, so I'm sitting. And you could say, oh, but you're saying you're identifying with the body with time. Well, this is the reality. This is practical spirituality. I'm in this line and there'll be waiting on the ham. Okay. And people may bump into you. People may, when you're driving into the parking lot, people may try to cut you off and be very nasty and all that. But again, you're the self of self. You're the one cutting you off and the one being cut off. You're the one who's angry with the clerk and the clerk that's getting upset with someone being angry with them. And you're the one waiting in line to get the ham.
It seems like, yeah, it seems